Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, we're having some gloomy weather today, and this kind of weather always makes me just want to crawl into bed with a good book and then take a nap. And lo and behold, there's actually an entire conference about sleep going on right now in Boston. And Carrie Goldberg, host of WBUR's Common Health Blog, was at the conference where researchers are presenting some of the latest insights into catching Z's, how it works, and how to fix it when it all goes wrong. Carrie, help me. How do we fix it? No. So give me some of the takeaways from this big sleep conference.
So first of all, I second your motion for a nap and a book. I'll raise you a hot chocolate.
Oh, I'm in.
Yes. And actually, I have a takeaway about sleep from even before this conference. So my family stayed at a major hotel chain over this last weekend, and it was like they were marketing a cult of sleep. Like they were boasting about their circadian mood lighting for guests to personalize the in-room light environment to enhance sleep.
Wait, isn't AKA just turning the lights off?
You mean, yeah, turn the lights off when you want to go to sleep? Yes. But they also had a dawn simulator to gently wake you and long wave night lighting to minimize sleep disruption.
Okay. Well, I'm intrigued, to be honest, but I guess the point is that many people are deeply obsessed with getting better sleep, and there's a market emerging around this?
It certainly seems so. I mean, sleep is an eternal topic, right? And it's an even bigger one lately. It's estimated that about 60 million Americans have insomnia every year. So it really is no surprise that the sleep research conference that's going on right now at the Heinz Convention Center, it's called Sleep 2017 with the sleep all in uppercase letters, like Sleep 2017. It's drawing something like 7,000 researchers to the Heinz this week.
There must be a very powerful subconscious suggestion about saying the word sleep because I just yawned. And yes. It's nothing personal, Carrie. It's nothing personal. Now, okay. The big research conference is like this, lots of interesting studies, so obviously 7,000 researchers there. What are your picks about some big finds or studies?
Well, so one that really grabbed me is a preliminary study out of MIT that looks at sleep among college students.
Okay, so as in not much of it, pulling all-nighters up until 3 a.m., blah, blah, blah.
Right, and one interpretation of this study is that if you, as a college student, feel compelled to go to bed at 3 a.m., at least make it a regular habit to go to bed at 3 because it's looking like that would be better for your feelings of happiness and well-being, especially in the morning and evening, than if you bounce around more sleep-wise. And I spoke with Akane Sano. She's in the Media Lab's Affective Computing Group at MIT. She says the findings suggest that this regularity in your sleep is mainly important if you're a short sleeper, like less than 7 hours a night.
What we found is irregular sleepers who sleep less than 7 hours. So if they switch to regular sleep, their health and well-being dramatically improved.
So your health will be dramatically improved. But she says if you're getting over 7 hours of sleep a night, that regularity doesn't seem to matter much.
Okay, so I guess we're in summer now, so maybe this doesn't matter to students at all. But next time, maybe when they're heading into finals for fall semester and they feel like they can't afford to sleep more than 4 hours a night, maybe they just pick the same 4 hours a night?
Maybe. I mean, these are totally preliminary studies. You can play around with preliminary findings all you want. But, stress can get so heavy in college that whatever might help seems good. And this finding is part of a really interesting bigger study called Snapshot that's tracking about 300 New England college students, both their emotional states and their physical states using, sensors on physical fitness, like type trackers, and their social networks. And they're looking for signals that could predict that an emotional crisis is brewing so they could try to head it off.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may be those very social networks that are keeping them awake, but that's
a side comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what else from the sleep conference?
Okay, so how about baseball and sleep?
Baseball and sleep. How about that?
Okay. So what would you say, Meghna, if I told you that preliminary results out at this conference suggest that sleeping just one extra hour a night for 5 days before a game could significantly improve even a Major League Baseball player's reaction times?
Yeah, I'd say cool.
Yep. Okay, could help the Red Sox, right? So this is research being presented today, actually, at the Sleep Conference by Sherry Ma. She's a research fellow at the University of California, San Francisco Human Performance Center. And she led a randomized control trial of 17 pro ball, so major league ball players, at a four-week training camp. So she got their baseline, like how much they usually sleep, and then she randomized them to either 5 nights of their usual sleep or 5 nights where they basically went to bed early, or what she calls sleep loading.
Is that akin to carbo loading before a marathon?
Yes, exactly.
But it is?
Oh, yeah, God, okay. It is. But it's sleep loading because you're not making up for a deficit. You're just adding more. So these guys, they normally average a little over 6 hours a night. The loading put them closer to 7 hours a night. And when Ma tested them with a bunch of cognitive tests, the sleep loading players improved by like 13% on a test of mental reaction speed. And they were also faster on an attention test where they had to ignore a distraction. And now there were differences of just a few dozen milliseconds, but milliseconds matter when a fastball is rocketing right at you. Here's Sherry Ma.
We do speculate that there may be application to the general public, but obviously we need to better study sleep loading in other populations. At the end of the day, we all require healthy and adequate sleep. And so this is one suggestion that additional rest opportunities may be beneficial for daytime functioning.
Okay, Kara, I'm going to just say here that while this is interesting, it's not necessarily new, right? Because, I was looking back at our own archives here at Radio Boston, and in 2014, we talked with sleep guru Charles Seisler at Harvard Medical School, who'd been hired by the Bruins to help get them on a good sleep regimen, and it got them that wasn't the only thing, but they're saying it's one of the things that maybe helped them get to the Stanley Cup
that year. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, what's amazing to me, these guys are pro athletes. Like, they're so pampered and cared for, and yet they might actually, or her findings suggest, they weren't actually getting enough sleep. Like, how could they neglect that?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. Basic. Seisler had told the Bruins in 2014 that maybe actually one of the things he wanted them to do was take a nap, a midday nap every day to help get them more sleep.
Wow.
Okay, so anyway, overall, though, it's what was just said, like more sleep may be better for you while you're awake. So you got another study?
Yes. So one more. This one, at first I thought, oh, this belongs in the Journal of Da.
It's my favorite journal.
For many of us. Because the headline was, bed partners may unintentionally contribute to the perpetuation of insomnia, research shows. So of course I thought, well, of course, your spouse snores, your kids kick you, right? So of course they contribute to your insomnia. But it turns out that this is actually about the partners of people with insomnia, and that a lot of partners are made be trying to be supportive, but actually contradicting what's best for the insomniac.
Okay, so what are they doing wrong then?
Well, the study says 74% of them would encourage the person with insomnia to go to bed early or wake up late, which is actually in contradiction to the top recommendations. And they said a lot of them would suggest like reading or watching TV in bed, and over a third suggested naps or caffeine or reduced daytime activities.
I know what you're about to say. All bad ideas.
I mean, apparently if you have chronic insomnia, right, that many of the recommendations recommend against this. But what was interesting, the point wasn't to blame the partner. The point was to say that maybe these programs that try to help people with sleep problems should really be looking at what their partners do as well as part of the treatment program.
Okay, so on a serious note, this makes sense, Kara, because you said earlier that some 60 million Americans have insomnia. So, I mean, the better help we can get for them, the better we all are.
Exactly, right. And, you know, that's my overarching feeling about this conference, that, you know, on the one hand, you go into the exhibit halls and you see that more than ever, sleep is an industry. I mean, they have the ultimate pillow, the ultimate high-tech shirt for monitoring your sleep, high-tech glasses that claim to be able to adjust your body clock. And then there are the drug makers, of course, too.
Right. I mean, I'm a huge business, billions and billions of dollars, I presume.
Yes. But at the same time, you know, there are all these research sessions going on about sleep medicine and sleep science and how sleep reacts with everything from the immune system to memory to psychiatric disorders. And I don't know about you, but for me, all it takes is one bad night of sleep to wish desperately that we understood this better.
Absolutely. And I would say that there's an equally large or a very large business working in opposition to sleep, because I once read a little while ago that Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, said one of Netflix's biggest competitors, is sleep.
Oh, that's
what he said.
That's
and I say that because I'm currently Don't do what I do, everyone. I am binge watching House of Cards in bed
at
like 1
that.
In the morning. But anyway, Carrie,
that's doubly bad.
That's terrible.
For you.
I mean, especially after hearing all this, Carrie Goldberg, host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Thank you, as always.
You're welcome, and enjoy your nap.